longtime jazz player Matt Harpering. Matt, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, great job. Great. You guys are doing a heck of a job on that broadcast. What's it like going live from Atlanta?
It's actually a little bit difficult. It takes a little getting used to. I have a delay, obviously, in the audio and visual. And we're trying not to step on each other's toes. But I think we're getting better, and we're recognizing the technology better and better. So I think as far as just the general broadcast, it's going to continue to just get a little bit better every time as we understand each other's thoughts and stuff, and when to speak, when not to speak. And as far as the visual, I think like the fans are getting some great camera angles right now. They're getting just some really good action that was not available before. I've watched a few games now, whether it's the other games around the league, and I'm enjoying watching the game. I thought it would be, kind of like, I don't know about this without fans, but I think the NBA is doing a tremendous job.
Man, I'm with you, Matt. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it, and I think that they're doing a good job with the crowd mix. You know, they've got the home and road, and they're doing some crowd mix, so you get a little bit of crowd noise, but it's not overbearing and obnoxious. It just kind of seems like it's part of the game. I think it's been great. So do you watch it on – when you're watching and giving the call, are you just watching it on the AT&T feed, or are you watching on the World feed?
So we had a part of my basement kind of turned into a studio. So I have a direct line to Trav and the producer and, the truck and stuff. So I get, but even with all that, there's still just a delay. If the technology gets a little bit better and my delay cuts down – then I think it's going to be even easier and better for the broadcast. But right now, I think the world wasn't ready for all this Zoom meetings and all the technology and the bandwidth and the compression. And so I think after this period, I think you're going to get some technology that's going to be really cool in the future.
Matt, I'm going to take you back to 24, 25-year-old Matt Harpering. Would you have any hesitations of playing in this bubble?
No. No, I would definitely play. I think Disney is probably the safest place on Earth right now. Honestly, from what I've heard and what they're testing and inside the bubble, I really feel like they are doing things that at first you're like, can they really pull this off? But after players have been there for weeks, and I think they're going on a month now, you realize that, they can. They're really doing a great job. They've thought about everything before the process. So, it's a lot different than baseball. It's a lot different than football. So if any pro league can handle it, it's certainly the NBA.
Man, I think Adam Silver's done an incredible job. Are you typically on the same page with Adam? Have you felt good about what he's done as a commissioner? And how have you felt like he's handled this whole thing?
Yeah, Adam Silver has done great things for the NBA since David Stern left. Adam Silver took over, and I think at the time it was like, can he do as good of a job as David Stern? Because I thought David Stern really raised the NBA global awareness, got more money into the NBA. And then Adam Silver kind of took that platform, and then he raised the bar. So I actually think it was the right time, and he was the right person. He's done some very, very smart things. I think it's smart to not have canceled the season, but to try to play. I think fans want it. I think people want to see live sports. There's an appetite there. And the way they're controlling it, so there's a safety within the players, that the players feel safe and confident that they're not going to get sick. I think this is a win-win.
Matt Harpering, color analyst for the Utah Jazz, joining us for a few minutes here. So, Matt, what went different between that New Orleans Pelicans game and that Oklahoma City game? It just didn't feel like the Jazz were on that same level that they were against that opener in the Pelicans.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the juice, some of the energy was lacking a bit. However, I think there's two different opponents, too. I think the Pelicans, as we're seeing, not a great defensive team. They don't really put as much emphasis on the defensive side of the ball as a Thunder team. And that Thunder team, they had 40 wins for a reason. They were six in the West. And before, for a reason. They're a really good team. And I think, you know, as far as the casual NBA fan, they don't recognize that they see Paul George and Westbrook leave the team like, oh, they're not going to be good. And they have a bunch of good players. They have a star in Chris Paul, obviously. But, you know, they have a lot of great complementary players that play well together, and they are deep. And so they win by both the defensive side of things and the offensive side of things. So I think they took a lot of it. Their action defensively took a few things away from the Jazz. I don't think they ever made the Jazz feel comfortable in that ball game. They never got into a rhythm. There was never really a big run by Utah. So I credit OKC for they played a really good game against the Jazz. Steven Adams was certainly effective in what he does. I think going forward with the Jazz, it's going to be important to get a good start. I think the last few games, even though they came back against the Pelicans, they're digging themselves a hole, and you know, it's going to be tough to come back if they keep doing that in beginnings of games. They got to come out and try to set a tone early.
It really felt like watching that game, Matt. It felt like OKC was doing a good job of pushing the Jazz off their spots, off the perimeter, and really contesting those three-point attempts. Jazz shot just over 25% from three. Is this typical of what we're going to see from defenses, just trying to get out and smother the perimeter against the Jazz right now?
Yeah, I think every team's going to be a little different. You know, obviously Houston switches everything. But I think a team like, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder, what's interesting is Steven Adams used to be the guy that came out on pick and rolls and really blitzed you and came out hard. And to open the game up, he was more of a drop big defense. He kind of played center field in the lane and clogged up the lane. So it was a little bit different OKC Thunder team than Steven Adams usually get out of him. So, you know, I don't know. At times the Jazz struggle with the drop big. Sometimes they play really well against it. So I think it's a matter of a confidence thing. And to me, being an ex-player, you know, you see the ball go in a few times, you feel good about yourself. But on the other side of that, defensively, when you're getting stops, that certainly helps just the mood, just your general body language. And they weren't – it was almost like a perfect storm. They weren't getting some stops early, and then they weren't scoring. And I think they never got into that rhythm of a game that you hear about.
I'll tell you what, man, OKC is nothing to sleep on, though, right now. Felt like Chris Paul was at the top of his game for the first time in a long time. And, you know, you bring Schroeder off the bench. It's a tough team. It feels like it's a better team than what we saw at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, they're good. They have Gallinari, that's a great three-point shooter. And then they put the three-guard lineup in. Small, and you know, Schroeder and Chris Paul, very small guards. But they're able to play with it, and they do a good job with it. Gilgeous Alexander, you put those three together, and they're basically, if you look at them, they're not anything more than 6'2", 6'3", skinny players. But then Steven Adams kind of protects the rim. But they've used that lineup. That's not a shocking lineup. You know, they just didn't throw that out. That's been actually very successful for them, and Billy Donovan's done a great job coaching them this year. I do think, you know, talking about Billy Donovan, when Westbrook isn't there, and you don't have the ball-dominant point guard, as a coach, you have a lot more options. And I think you saw that the other night, or with OKC just in general this year. There's more of an offense of different options as opposed to, you know, it's the Westbrook-Paul George show.
So, obviously, Utah Jazz tipping off tonight against the L.A. Lakers, 7 o'clock tip. Matt, what do we need to see tonight for the Jazz to be in this game and potentially sneak out a win?
Well, I think for one, they just got to play Jazz basketball, you know, and that means a few things. That means you pass the basketball and you move. The ball's got to be popping around the perimeter. Two, the three-point game with the Jazz is important. If they're not making shots, they're going to struggle because that's who they are. They're a three-point shooting team. They're the second-best three-point shooting team in the league. They usually make shots, and they usually make them from behind the arc. At times, you know, they'll take almost half their shots from three. So the three-point shot, you can live and die by it at times, and obviously against the Thunder, it wasn't falling. So against the Lakers, they come out, they make a few. That makes the Laker defense have to respect them more from three because obviously you're making shots. You say, okay, I got to go guard this guy because he's hot, which also then opens up the lane, which opens up the middle and the basket. But, you know, defensively against the Lakers – they have to guard, obviously, two guys, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Those two are going to be just hard to guard. They got to have their team. One guy is not going to be able to guard either of them. I think Rudy and Antonio Davis is going to be a great matchup to watch, but AD is going to probably try to take Rudy on the outside at times and try to extend Rudy away from the rim. And that's going to leave LeBron at the rim in the post-up situations. And let's see if the Jazz adapt and if they double. But you got to make someone else beat you. If you're the Jazz, you can't let LeBron and AD do it by themselves.
You know, I was thinking about some of the contributors, guys that are a little bit more I guess some of your bench guys, some of the guys that have to come in and try to contribute and find their looks and their moments. And one guy I've been watching really close is George Niang. He's really increased his three-point attempts, and he's trying to fire off those looks as they come. And, Matt, I've got to imagine you would know better than anybody how difficult that can be. Just your thoughts on George Niang, what he needs to do to improve. He was 1 of 7 against Oklahoma City. Is it just continue to give him those 7 looks or 8 looks, continue to give him the green light, or do you restrict? How do you think he's handled, and how can he get where he needs to be?
No, I think George is going to figure it out. He's a good player. He's a good shooter. You know, he's going through 2 games of a rough spot as far as shooting, but he's the Jazz leading 3-point shooter throughout the year. He's just not going to lose his shot in 2 games. Now, he needs to find it. The Jazz need him to produce. I think if you ask Quinn Snyder, he likes the fact that George is getting, you know, a few more threes up a game than he was in the regular season. So I do think he's had 2 off games. And I do expect him to start making shots. And he just needs to see one go in. Once he sees 1 or 2 go in, you know, obviously that confidence thing that we just talked about goes way up. And he's a guy on the perimeter. When he's in the ball game, the other team just can't leave wide open. So he's a spacer too. So that helps, certainly. But I don't really worry about Niang right now.
He seems to be getting his looks, and hopefully tonight against the Lakers he can knock some of those down. Outside of the Jazz, Matt, I'm curious your thoughts on who's impressed you the most in kind of the initial return to the NBA?
Yeah, so in the East, Toronto has really impressed me. They're quietly just coming, you know, winning games, and no one's really talking to them. The Bucks are getting all the hype. I thought the Bucks, they're good, no question. With Giannis, I thought down the stretch against Houston last night, they did not look like a championship-caliber team. They turned the ball over, I think, 3 possessions in a row. Giannis had that bad turnover late. They just didn't seem they knew exactly where to go with the ball and what to do. The Lakers impressed me in Game 1 against the Clippers. It was almost the complete opposite. I feel like if you're in a close game with the Lakers coming down the stretch in the fourth quarter, it's going to be tough to beat the Lakers. You got to have a lead against LA. But if you're tied or if you're within a possession or two, and you got LeBron and AD on that team, they just are so smart and so savvy with the basketball that they're going to get something good. So the Lakers impressed me that in the Toronto. Like I said, the Bucks I think can get it together for sure. But Houston, to me, they have 2 wins. And, you know, everyone kind of says they can't win with this small ball lineup. But yet they just beat the best record in the NBA last night. And they seems like they can turn it on and off. And it just provides teams with these mismatches that they don't know what to do with.
Phoenix got a good win the other night. And then you look at Sacramento, New Orleans, Portland, and San Antonio trying to fight for that 8 spot against Memphis. Who ends up with that 8 spot in your opinion, Matt?
I think Portland. You know, Memphis is good. I think they're a little bit too young. I think Portland, with all their healthy bodies back, I think they can come away with it. But, you know, the surprising one here is San Antonio. I didn't think they had a shot at it, but they actually do have an outside shot. They're playing good basketball without Aldridge, and, you know, they're finding a way to get it done. And it's almost like Pop is, here he goes again. You know, he knows how to coach, man. And you say, oh, well, they don't have this guy and this guy. Well, next thing you know, Pop comes up with something, and they're beating teams, and they're keeping themselves relevant. And I have to get this off.
Well, Matt, we appreciate your time. Really great job. You guys are doing a fantastic job in adapting and adjusting on this broadcast. I know a lot of people will be tuning in tonight, and have a great call.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you bet. There you go. Former Jazz player, current Jazz color analyst Matt Harpering joining us live from Atlanta, getting us ready for this Jazz Lakers game tonight.